Good morning. First, I want to introduce ourselves. I'm Jason Githens, a program manager lead on the Configuration Manager team. We have Paul Mayfield, who runs our program management on Intune, and we have Clay, who is going to be doing all of our demos today. So I'll just get into the agenda right off the bat. We're going to do an enterprise mobility overview. We're going to use a lot of buzzwords. We'll try to get cloud in there as much as we possibly can, since that's kind of a theme. And we will then cut over to mobile data protection. We'll talk about some principles of managing Windows 10, and then we'll move into traditional PC management. Our main goal today is really to give an overview of our ecosystem of device and PC management through both Intune and Configuration Manager. Inclusive of our mobile application management story. We're going to talk about our Graph API and a lot of just neat innovations we've been doing over the past several months. And we've significant changes we've made since we last presented to a forum like this at the previous Ignite over more than a year ago. So with that, I think we will just jump right in and let Paul take you through the enterprise mobility overview.
Okay, great. Thanks, Jason. Jason warned me he was going to do a debate joke, and that did not happen. So
well, I was actually I was going to say I was pretty tired today because I stayed up late watching Saturday Night Live, and then I realized that it was real.
It's real.
And then I couldn't sleep at all.
All right. So enterprise mobility. A lot of folks, when they want to talk to us about Intune or Configuration Manager, they're sort of looking at how would it compare with some of the other EMM solutions in the market. And one of the first things we'll do is take a step back and say what we're really doing at Microsoft is building a full stack for enterprise mobility. And so we have System Center Configuration Manager and Microsoft Intune as sort of the management arm of this stack. But to enable mobility, you need mobile productivity. That's our Office 365, mobile identity, mobile data protection, rights management. So we have a whole set of mobility technologies that come together. And the goal of the technology at the end of the day is to enable your employees to be productive on any of their devices, on any of their mobile apps, and then balance that with allowing the data to keep its, the IT department to keep the company's information protected, right? And the key to sort of being successful in doing an all-up mobility play like this is to do it with an architecture and with an approach that makes it easy to consume, easy to operate, something that you can roll out and use really effectively in your organizations. And so our strategy has been to build that all-up mobility story across Microsoft's portfolio products, make them work together to address mobility end-to-end. And then our management parts of that are Intune and Config Manager. So really quick as an overview of what are the management parts doing? There are really kind of two basic ideas. The first one is that you want to manage the mobile devices. And probably a lot of folks here are familiar, but it's getting certificates to the devices, getting apps to the devices, getting settings to the devices, getting them properly configured with password policies, encryption, all that sort of thing, right? And then there's a separate thing, which is managing the mobile applications. That is configuring the apps, making them available to your users, your employees, making them protected, meaning taking the corporate data that's inside those apps and keeping it separate from the consumer data. And we have some ways that we do that that are pretty unique and different that we'll talk a little bit about. But an interesting thing that we take an approach on here is that we think that both of these are really necessary technologies in an environment. And when it comes to mobile application management, we want to make it possible for you to do the app management regardless of whether you're managing that device or not. And so the reason for that is because inside an enterprise, there will be multiple different kinds of devices that you'll run into. And kind of going from the left to the right in this diagram, it's going to be from more IT control to less IT control at the end of the day. So you'll have a set of devices that are IT managed. Those will be enrolled in your MDM. It might be a phone that you're buying for every one of your employees. It might be a shared device, so a task worker device at a retail shop to sell product on the show floor. But you have a set of IT-managed devices. Then you have potentially, and people have different policies on this, and we'll talk about it, different strategies for BYOD, but you might have employee-managed devices. So a lot of folks here would probably have a set of their employees that are accessing email through EAS or something like that on a phone or a tablet at home, right? So you have a little bit of less control on the device there, but you might have more control in terms of the applications and the corporate data if you play it out right. So we have a set of technologies that we bring to the employee managed scenario. And then finally, there are going to be devices that are managed by some foreign entity, like your employees may go out to a trade show and use a kiosk in the lobby and sign in to try and read their email through a web browser or something like that. There's a case where you can't control the device at all, someone else is doing that. You can't control the browser at all, someone else is doing that. So you're left with, what can I do to control that session and make sure that I'm trying to keep my data isolated? So these are sort of the kinds of devices you have. The reason why we want to support MDM as a first-class thing, and we want to support application management as a first-class thing, both with and without device enrollment, is so that we can cover all these sorts of scenarios. So real quick also, when it comes to the employee-managed devices, we're seeing from our customers kind of a range, again, on their strategies for BYOD, where on the left side, we have a set of customers that will say, at our company, if you want to use a personal device, you're going to roll it in the MDM, you're going to treat it like any other corporate managed device. And that's a totally valid strategy. A lot of people are doing that. We support that. We think it's great. There's another set of customers who will say, I want to have companion devices, meaning I'm going to give my employees a corporate-owned device, maybe a phone that they can use as their primary mobile device. And then when they go home, there might be an iPad on the coffee table. They want to pick that up and use it to do some email, maybe some collaboration. If I can control the applications and I can keep the corporate data under my control on a device like that, then I'll allow companion devices to be used at work. So it's another strategy that some folks are using. And then there are even some customers we have that have gone all the way to, we're not even going to manage the devices, we're just going to manage those apps and that data, and that will be our standard. So I know we have a case study that Avanade's published where they're doing that for their global employees. From our perspective, there's really no right answer to that. I think every individual customer will make an assessment and decide, you know, are we more toward having all of our BYO devices enrolled in MDM, or are we more toward allowing some mix? But we've tried to design our technology so that you'll have a set of tools that could enable any one of these strategies. And we're not just talking about the management technologies like SCCM and Intune, but we've brought Office 365, Azure Active Directory, Azure Information Protection, all of these sorts of technologies together to enable this broad set of scenarios. So with that, we're going to walk into a quick demo. And what we're going to show you here is something that we've only started showing at the conference so far, which is those of you who may have had some experience with Intune in the audience know that we've had a Silverlight-based console in the past, and we are moving to having our entire admin experience out of the new Azure portal. It will work on any device, any browser, and it's built on a set of REST APIs. So we're just going to show you a couple of scenarios clicking through that, and Clay will lead the demonstration on that. So Clay, why don't you show us an example of device management using the console?
Thanks, Paul. It's funny how they always have the best-looking guy doing the demos and sacrificing me to the demo gods, but I'll take a bullet.
So somebody behind the curtain?
So as you see here, we are in the new Azure Intune console, and one of the common tasks that you're going to want to do all the time is to set up policies to manage your devices for your users, to restrict things on the actual devices. So I'm going to show you how easy that is. I'm going to come into my configuration profiles. I'm going to create a new profile. Let's name it Lockdown Corp Device. And I'm going to choose a platform. You'll see here I have many choices to choose from. We're going to go with iOS in this case. And I'm going to look and see what I want to lock down in this case. And so I'm going to start with device restrictions. So let's look at our device restrictions. You'll see, once again, quite a few options here that I can lock down. Let's just, for demo's sake, just do a password policy. So we're going to choose to require a password. And we're actually going to have a lot of different options here of alphanumeric, the password complexity, et cetera. I'm going to hit OK. I'm going to hit save. Yes.
Are you able to zoom in or? Oh, okay.
How's that? Better? Okay, so, and you'll see here, the new policy that I just created is in place. I can now choose that policy. I can look at reports to see who it's been pushed out to, who's compliant, et cetera, or I can actually come here and actually assign a group to that policy. Super simple to do, and just choose the users or choose the groups that you want to add the policy to, and you're done.
Yeah, so this is a common paradigm in the new console where you'll first sort of create an object, like in the SCCM world, this would have been called a configuration item. Once you've sort of defined that, then you can assign it to a set of groups. And so we have customers who will sync their directory users to the cloud, we'll bring an organizational unit as an attribute of those users, we'll define a dynamic group for users in a given region, and then we'll deploy out applications, policies, et cetera, region by region as they kind of scale up their deployment globally. That's a really common pattern, and this experience is sort of optimized around allowing you to do sort of an incremental deployment until you get globally dispersed. So thanks, Clay. Why don't you show us an example of managing applications out of the new experience?
Absolutely, Paul. So with applications, I'm going to start out once again in the Azure Intune portal. And let's say I want to publish an app to a user, and this is one app. I want to do this manually, so I'm going to go through. I'm going to choose what type of app I want to install. I'm going to choose iOS Store app. The next part's going to be pretty exciting for you if you're used to the other console, where now, let's say I want to add OneNote. It's actually going to search the Apple App Store for apps. I'm going to choose OneNote. I'm going to hit OK instead of having to go through the manual process of having to find the link, et cetera. And now I'm going to click Configure the app, and you're going to see everything is pre-populated straight from the App Store.
And that's better than copying the link?
A lot better than copying the link.
Okay.
And you can see here,
miss those GUIDs.
A lot of ways to customize this as well. We won't go through all of those right now, but super simple to do. I'm going to hit save. And it will show up in the list eventually. There we go. So the app is now added. Once again, once it's there and loading.
So this entire experience is under development now. We're expecting to start lighting that up in the first part of the calendar year, 2017, and we'll be rolling it out sort of in a staged manner to all of our customers, new and old. I'm sorry?
Can you switch over? Where are we switching to?
The question is this considered storage space? You mean when you put an app into the catalog? And no, it doesn't count against any storage space. Yeah. So while Clay is doing that, let me take a step back and say, so now we've shown an example of using the new admin experience to do some simple device management and app management tasks. One of the common things we've heard on sort of the Intune side of our organization, by the way, Intune and SCCM are all the same engineering team right now. But a common request for Intune is, how do I make some of this stuff automated? How do I make it extensible? Because the SCCM platform has had a number of really great SDKs and APIs available for that for some time. So the console that you just saw Clay walking through is 100% built on a set of REST APIs. And those REST APIs are published. And so everything you can do in the console, you can do by invoking the REST API directly. It's the Microsoft Graph. Or you can do by a set of PowerShell commandlets that will also be shipping to natively do it. So that comes in real handy if you want to, you know, reduce errors, if you want to do things in bulk, if you want to do repeatable processes, you want to integrate with other systems. So Clay, why don't you show us an example of invoking that API to do some of the tasks that we've done?
Sure. So I showed you a few minutes ago how to walk through manually and add a single app. So now I'm actually going to take it one step further and show you how to bulk add applications using PowerShell. Once again, if you're used to the other console, this is going to be very exciting to you. So we see here we have our list of apps that have already been installed in our console. But I'm actually going to now go and run a script in PowerShell. This script is basically going to go out to the Apple App Store, and you can basically have this pull down all the applications for your company. In my case, I've got it set for Microsoft, and I'm going to have it pull down the first 10 Microsoft applications, once all in PowerShell, and we are going to run this. You're going to see here that it's actually already found 10 applications. It's going to go through and actually publish these in the background to our Intune Azure console. It is looking for icons. It actually looks for both the 100 by 100 and 60 by 60 icons. And as it goes through, you'll see it's actually going to go through and find 10. Now if I go back to the console, and do a refresh, you're going to see it's already dropped these new apps in here for me. Basically, real time, it's going through in the background still and pulling down a few more, and looks like it should be done now, so I'm going to refresh one more time. And you're going to see 10 new applications pulled in through the console, using PowerShell, using scripting and the APIs, and it's, to me, I'm super excited about this.
Okay. So, thank you. All right, so there you go. We're pretty excited to be, like Clay was saying, launching this over the coming, 6 to 12 months. And we've already got it working with some of our early adopters and customers are getting really great feedback on it. So let's switch gears now and talk about mobile data protection. I will say when Intune or when EMS entered the EMM market, sort of the standard that we saw out there was that there was corporate networks that had corporate data. There was an internet that had a bunch of devices and web browsers and things like that. And then there was a gateway that stood in the middle or a VPN server or something that was filtering data and providing access control and stuff like that. So when we entered it, though, we were saying we are a mobile-first, cloud-first company. We expect the real reality is going to be that all that corporate data is no longer sitting in those corporate servers, but they're out in any number of SaaS applications on the internet, and they're out on any other number of mobile devices and mobile applications that may or may not be inside the corporate boundary. And so how would we approach data protection when this is the reality, right? And so we've architected our solution a little differently from a lot of other solutions in the market because this was the design point that we had. So there are really two big parts of doing data protection to us. The first part is controlling how the access is given to the data. And the one thing that seems to happen, even as everything's moving out to the cloud, even as things moving to mobile devices, is that before you're going to get data, you're going to authenticate, right? And so knowing that, then we said, why don't we take the authentication fabric and extend it to do all the controls that we want to do over access. And so we have taken the Azure Active Directory with the premium set of features, and we enable you to have policies that say what is up with the user accessing the data. Have they provided a strong authentication? Have they been part of the right group? Are they known to me, right? What's going on with the device? Is it a known device? Is it managed? Is it compliant? So that allows you to set policies that say, you can only access my Exchange server or my hosted Exchange service if the device is enrolled in Intune and compliant with those policies, right? We also have tests on the mobile app. Is the mobile app protecting the data? Is the mobile app taking the corporate data inside it and protecting it separately from the personal data? We'll talk a little bit more about it. And then we have other sort of signals that can come into it. So we have a very broad set of controls you can put in place that regardless of whether your data is up in the cloud, on-premise, you can put these controls in place to gate the access to it. Later today, I believe it's at 2:15, Alex Weinhardt and Dilip Radhakrishnan from our team will be doing a very deep dive on conditional access, and everything you've ever wanted to know about it will be covered in great depth there. So I'd recommend that session if you're interested in this topic. Second, we have, in terms of protecting data, is, okay, the data's been accessed. Now can I control what's going to happen with it after it's been accessed? So one of the big concerns is I've accessed my corporate data. I need to make sure it's not going to be copied or saved to a consumer app or service, right? Even though it was an authorized user on a known and trusted device, how do I make sure that the data is going to be handled properly, right? And we have a couple of technologies that come into play. The first one is our mobile application management policies that we support in Intune. And where we've done this a little bit differently is we've used identity as sort of the key point on treating our data. So if you have used a corporate credential inside of Mobile Word, for example, to access data in OneDrive for Business, for example, then we know that is corporate data and it needs to be treated differently. And you can put policies on it that will say, don't allow that data to be saved to consumer Dropbox, or don't allow the data to be cut, copy-pasted into a consumer email session or something like that. And so we have sort of a set of mobile app technologies that will keep corporate data, even inside the same app, separate from the personal data. This is a really important point because with Office 365 and with Office Mobile, we don't have a corporate version of Word, we don't have a personal version of Word, we just have Word. And we need to make sure that Word knows, hey, this corporate data that you've downloaded, that you used a corporate identity to access, has to be treated differently from the other data that you're handling, right? The other technology we have is in the Enterprise Mobility and Security Suite, we have a CASB solution. It's called the Microsoft Cloud App Security. It will do for a web session what Intune will do for a mobile app. So again, if you're trying to deal with that kiosk scenario in the lobby, where your employees are logging in and accessing email through OWA, you want to make sure that they are not able to download your company documents onto that kiosk. So you can use the technology from Microsoft Cloud App Security to sort of restrict how the data inside that web session is handled as well, and that's a great complement to sort of what Intune does on a mobile app. Okay. So let's do a quick demo of some of these concepts as well. Clay, can you show us some mobile data protection?
Absolutely, Paul. And so once again, looking at the Azure Intune console, and one of the common scenarios you're going to do is be able to pick out an app and you want to be able to apply policy to that application and to other applications that you would like to manage for your users. So I'm just going to click on App Policy here. I'm going to choose to add a policy. We'll name this Corp App Lockdown. And once again, we're going to choose iOS as our platform. And I'm going to come in here and choose a couple apps that I'd like to lock down, like Outlook, Excel, Word, etc. And I'm going to choose those apps. And then I'm going to come through and I'm going to pick what settings I would like to apply to these applications. So let's only allow data to transfer between other apps. Let's require a PIN. We have a lot of the defaults set here for you. And we can set different intervals as well. So let's hit OK. We're now going to create this policy for those apps. And now I'm actually going to switch over and show you, it's actually real quick. So then I'm going to apply this policy to a group, which I did not do. So I'm going to, it's already set to my group here. So now I'm going to switch over and show you what the end user experience is like for the end users once you apply this policy.
Glad you guys had me here to do all this button pushing. Adding a lot of value.
Thanks, Jason. You're a star.
Oh, you'll get your turn, Jason.
Okay, so you'll see here on my iPad that I have a lot of Microsoft apps. We'll call this the iPad Pro Plus because it has all Microsoft apps on it. And you're going to see that I now have to, if I go to open up Outlook, I'm actually now required to enter a PIN because it knows I'm trying to access corporate data. So you now know my PIN.
I'll just, a quick interjection. We also support just using the Touch ID for this scenario.
Yep.
But a common sort of ask, if I'm going to support a device that might not be enrolled for MDM, I might not know whether the device itself has a PIN on it, so can you help enforce that through the app? And that's a policy we support.
And you can turn that off or on depending on how strict you'd like to get. But you're going to see here, I'm actually going to walk through and kind of show you how if Darth Vader had implemented mobile application management in his environment, the Rebel Alliance would probably not have received the plans for the Death Star. So, as you see here...
Could you go any more geek with this?
Sorry. Right.
We're going to release a movie about that in December.
All right, so you see here that I actually have sent myself the Death Star plans, and there's a link or an attachment. So I'm going to click this link, And you're going to see it automatically is forcing me to open this in the Microsoft Manage browser. With the Manage browser, you can go a step farther and actually restrict what sites users can go to. And once again, you can restrict things like cut, copy, paste in between the Manage browser to other apps. You can actually say you can only copy information from the Manage browser to other Manage apps instead of the other apps on the device. And while this is loading, the Death Star plans are very large in size, and the Wi-Fi here is not exactly fast, so it's gonna take just a second for that to load. But Jason, can you switch me back over to my machine? One thing I did just wanna point out as that's loading is, and I forgot to mention this in the last group, when I loaded those apps using PowerShell earlier, the same information that was pulled down when I did it manually, all that is pulled down via PowerShell. And just wanted to show you really quick that it pulls down the icon and it pulls down all the information using PowerShell. And just wanted to point that out real quick while we're waiting. And we're all loaded up with the Death Star plans here. So you'll see in the Manage browser, my Death Star plans are now loaded. If I wanted to then try as a user, let's say I wanted to try to circumvent the security controls. So I'm actually going to copy this link, and let's say I wanted to go to Notepad and try to paste it. You're going to see I don't even have the option to paste it in Notepad. However, if I wanted to take the same link and go to my managed browser or to my managed Outlook app, which is also managed by my company, because I'm logged in with my corporate user account, when I go to paste it, the link's going to paste right in. Once again, restricting the data that can be transferred in between apps to only the corporate applications. And that's really what we're trying to do with the Man Without Enrollment. And my device doesn't even have to be enrolled in full Intune in order to get this access. I can download the app from anywhere, from the public app store, and get these policies applied based on how I log into the app. Okay. Thank you.
Great, thanks, Clay. So Jason, it's your moment.
My turn? All right. Thanks,
Paul. Switch over and talk about Windows 10.
Yes, so we're gonna pivot a little bit here and talk about managing Windows 10, the Windows 10 strategies you should think about. I'm going to do a much deeper dive on this on Thursday afternoon, 4 to 5:15, to really talk about modern management versus traditional management of Windows 10. But we wanted to touch on it here as we kind of segue this conversation to PC management, which is a vital part of the entire device management ecosystem. You saw a lot here around MDM and MAM and Intune specific. Config Manager is still very much a technology we continue to invest in. It's still the way that is commonly used to manage Windows 10. And so we just want to talk a little bit about modern management Windows 10 principles and traditional management Windows 10 principles, back ended by the Config Manager discussion, which will come after this section. So this eye chart here is really kind of a swim lane view of the various considerations you need to make on when you're deciding traditional versus modern management of Windows 10. As we know, Windows 10 has evolved to be optimized for modern management, for MDM management. Windows 10 has grown an ecosystem of services to provide a much richer experience with Windows for things like a store for business, updates for business, upgrade analytics, and so on. And so there are multiple services attached to Windows. There are multiple ways to manage Windows now. And the traditional versus modern question comes up quite often. And this chart really is meant to highlight if you have the requirements in the orange column, then traditional management is probably still the right way for you to manage Windows 10 today. Aspirationally, we want to move that further and further to the blue column over time, but we understand the reality of today is that there just are key principles that you need to be able to control, such as Win32 applications, as one example from this list. That said, again, we want to move, we want to provide everything on both the Intune and Windows side to get everyone successfully over to cloud management, but we know that's probably a multi-year journey. Hence, we have the best of both worlds with PC management through Config Manager, device management through Intune. You can combine those two together to get all of the management capability you need with an eye on transitioning to cloud over time as it's right for your organization. So as a demonstration of, one of the really cool modern management principles for onboarding Windows 10, we wanted to walk you through an Azure Active Directory join demo. You probably already know this, but with a Windows 10 device, you can pull it right out of the box, or your user can. They can use what users understand to be their email credentials, put that credential in the first boot experience, and automatically register to Azure Active Directory and enroll and optionally enroll automatically into Intune. It's a super streamlined experience that doesn't require you to get a perfectly good PC, re-image it, and then hand it back to the user and go through the domain join process, the OS deployment, or MDT, or whatever tools that you have to do today. It's a great way to go from box to user without any person in the middle having to touch that device. Once it's registered with Azure Active Directory and enrolled into Intune, it will start getting policies, it will start getting applications, the user can be productive, IT is confident that the device is secure, and there didn't have to be any person in the middle of that process, of that workflow of OEM box PC to end user, and they put in their credentials and they're off and doing work. So with that, we're going to cut over, and Clay is graciously going to do another demo for us. Showing you the Azure Active Directory join experience and just give you a visual of that workflow.
Okay, so this should look familiar to anyone out in the audience who has basically booted up a Windows 10 device recently. We're looking at the out-of-the-box experience. So this is basically a device that we just opened up out of the box. We haven't signed in yet. We literally just turned it on. So I'm going to walk you through that process. So you'll see here, I hit accept. I'm actually going to use Express Settings. And this will take just a second to load as part of the process. But as this is loading, previously, you had lots of choices when Windows 10 first came out. There were basically 6 or 7 different enrollment choices, even on the out-of-the-box experience. And a lot of times, it was very confusing to users. Now, you're going to see here, we have 2. So we're going to choose how I'm going to connect. I'm going to either use Azure Active Directory or join a local Active Directory domain. So I'm going to choose Azure Active Directory. And it actually tells me here, when I should choose that option. I'm going to hit next. And I'm going to log in with my work account. It's going to take me to my sign-in page for my org. I'm going to enter in my credentials to sign in. It is going to now require me to use multi-factor authentication.
Oh, free multi-factor auth demo.
Free multi-factor. It's all included. So
nice of you, Clay.
This will hopefully go through here in just a second. The demo gods were so good. Okay. Oh. Of course that worked. Okay, so tell you what, we are going to have to back out of this. So
that's fine.
Paul's going to jump in. I'm going to reset this real quick and have it ready to go just
so
to show you
how
that process
goes. It's an incredibly simple experience.
Sorry about that. It was going so well. Sorry, guys.
Unless your user clicks a link they shouldn't have, and, well, stuff goes sideways. But it does really work, and it's pretty cool. The multi-factor auth thing does add a layer of complexity. This is our own Microsoft IT environment, yep. And Clay's work account he's using, and we require multi-factor auth, so that's why we hit that workflow step.
But the point is that once he completes the multi-factor authentication, his phone was going to ring, he'd enter in his PIN, then it would go through, his device would be known to the Azure Active Directory. It would also then automatically get enrolled into Intune, and all the corporate apps and settings and Wi-Fi and certificates and et cetera would come down to the device, and he'd be ready to go. So it's sort of a one-stop, out-of-the-box, get-up-and-running experience.
Exactly. It's, you know, Joe's at home, he gets his new Surface Pro, he opens it up, does it. Logs in, gets breakfast, and he's doing work by, you know, in a little bit later. So we may come back to that, see what our time looks like.
Yep.
I'll cut over to, okay, PC management, the grand old lady. I know you got to see the sleek sports car. I'm going to talk about the old config manager bus, which we've really tricked out. So we really modernized this whole thing. We moved as of last December, we moved the entire product off of the old 3-year kind of 3 to 5 year cadence onto a servicing model. We originally were approached when Windows approached us and said they're going to a servicing model. We looked at our multi-million lines of code and said, uh-oh, how do we do that? So some heroics of our engineering team, we were able to pull that off, and now we release updates to Config Manager every 4 months to keep up with Intune, to keep up with device innovation, and just to keep up with Windows innovation as well. So we fundamentally changed how we build and release Config Manager. From a configuration options standpoint, we have two primary config options that you can use when you're doing combination, when you're doing device and PC management. You can do the left-hand side of the screen there, which is full Intune standalone using that slick new console that these guys showed you and talked about, or you can connect Config Manager and Intune together through a connector and have what we call a hybrid configuration, and then you get aggregate PC and device management out of a single solution that's Config Manager connected to Intune. So the new System Center Configuration Manager, I touched on this a little bit, but the first and foremost goal that we had was to simplify the upgrade experience, to get customers from 2012 to what we call our current branch model. Our current branch model no longer has a year name, an R name, an SP name. It's simply System Center Configuration Manager, and we iterate by the year, month, naming convention. So we launched with our 1511 release. We moved to, we produced a 1602, a 1606, 1610 will be coming soon, and we've stayed on this 4-month cadence. And amazingly, and this is again a credit to my engineering team, we have not had any increase in call volume by uptake of this version. We've actually had a downtick in call volume because we're able to put a bunch of quality and performance updates into these releases as well. And we're able to keep up, like I mentioned earlier, keep up with innovation in EMS, Intune, Office 365, Windows 10, inclusive in for our hybrid customers of all the new platform support, like iOS 10 as an example. We're able to keep this thing up to date in a way that was unimaginable even 18 months ago, 2 years ago. We're also able to listen and respond quickly to customer feedback. We do a lot of roadshows. We do a lot of conferences like this. We have a user voice forum, which I would encourage all of you that are Config Manager or Intune customers to get into user voice. It's a socially driven feedback mechanism that's public. You can publish a new item. You can find an item and vote it up. You can add comments to it. And we actively, weekly, look at this list and we find the top ones to put into our next releases. So it is something that works. There is a feedback loop to where we talk about if the feedback has been noted, if it's been implemented, what release it's going to be in. So we live and breathe out of this user voice forum as well as just direct customer conversations. And that's both an Intune and a Config Manager interface to get feedback to us as a product team. So our current branch cadence here, like I mentioned before, we have the 1511, 1602, 1606, 1610 coming soon. This is, we've stayed on this 4-month cadence. We will be producing a release of 1606 that you can upgrade from 2012 directly to in on the October timeframe. And we also have our 1606 releases inclusive in the System Center 2016 recently announced release as well, usage rights at least to that version. Just to buy the numbers, I wanted to show this, and these are about a couple of days old, so they've grown since I actually put this slide together. But just to give you a sense of how Config Manager continues to be a reality, how it continues to be a management solution for Windows 10, even as Windows 10 moves to modern management, it's still an anchor for us in IT, in enterprise client management. And by the numbers, and we were blown away by these numbers. We did not expect the uptake to be what it has been. It's a combination of the huge desire to get to Windows 10, the intersection of Config Manager into a broad ecosystem of services, whether those are Windows services or Intune EMS services, Azure Active Directory. There's just constant innovation that people really want. Customers really want this thing. And we've had 20,533 total tenants move to the servicing model since we launched in December of last year. It's been out in market less than a year, and we don't have the exact numbers of our tenants, but we figure that this is probably about a quarter of our total tenant count in the first year of this version being released. And even more remarkable, you can see that a majority of our tenants are on the latest version, which has only been out for about a month. And so the uptake has been incredibly strong, and it gets even more mind-blowing when you go to the next slide and you look at the number of total clients represented by these tenants. Almost 40.5 million total clients that are managed by a current branch version of Config Manager. And again, the highest proportion of those clients, over 17 million, are managed by the 1606 version, the latest version to come out. Customers are able to adopt these servicing releases quickly. We do intensive TAP programs and internal validation to assure that we're releasing only quality. We have a tech preview model where we release things every month so that you can get the earliest insight into anything we've coded, even if it's not production or generally available ready. And it's just fundamentally changed how we release software.
You know, this a graph like that was just completely unheard of for us even a year or two ago. It's amazing, really, the transformation in SCCM as a product that has taken place to allow it to be updated as a service. And folks that are familiar with the product, I mean, an organization will invest a lot in a distributed global infrastructure to manage all of their PCs and devices through SCCM, and to be able to just roll with an upgrade on that on a quarterly basis is just a phenomenal change.
It's changed. It's a great point, Paul. And another key thing is the fact that we even have numbers that we can reference like this, because we're actually getting data and telemetry that helps us build a super high quality release, because we know exactly what's going on with everybody. I mean, with privacy excluded, we anonymize everything, but we know what we can see errors. We can see what features people are using. We can make investment decisions based on which platforms are in use. We reversed a decision on Server 2008 support when it comes back, and we had a large percentage of distribution points running Server 2008. We were blind to all of this before. We had all this rich data to mine through. And this is just a small snapshot of all the forensics we can do on our global implementation of Config Manager that we quite simply just never had that capability before. Services have more of that capability, being a centralized shared service, but a distributed multi-tenant a solution like Config Manager, we've never had insights like this, and we can make real-world decisions based on this data, and we know how far we're progressing. This is just a snapshot overview of just some examples of what's coming each release to give you a sense of how much we're able to pack into each of these servicing releases. For example, 1511, that was our big Windows 10 supporting the launch of Windows 10 release, managing Windows as a service, the launch of our servicing model. With 1602, we added things like support for SQL Always On to give you a level of fault tolerance in your implementation of a business critical system like Config Manager. Office 365 update management. We worked closely with the Office team to make sure that you could deliver O365 click-to-run client updates through Config Manager software updates. And I think what's underwriting all of this stuff on here is how closely and how remarkably well we're working with partner teams across Microsoft to help deliver a holistic one Microsoft vision for these critical suites of productivity and platform of Office and Windows. We work very closely with them. I'm doing a session tomorrow. I'd encourage you to come to tomorrow. I'm going to be on stage with a number of different folks from the Windows side, and we're going to talk about the Intune and SCCM intersection with all these great new Windows services that are being developed. But I think what's written on this slide, what you see tomorrow if you come to that session, will completely prove how well we're working with all of the across Microsoft to deliver holistic, well-intentioned, well-thought-out solutions. And Office and Windows are critical partners for us. 1606 support for Anniversary Edition, and then 1610, we're doing some really cool stuff around cloud-based management to simplify managing your internet-based clients. And the way I parse this is that you remember the slide that had the orange and blue. You're going to continue to have an increasing, if you're not already saturated, with users at roam that are often on the internet, rarely on the corporate network. Mobile device management, modern management, and management through Intune is ideal for that case, but there might be gaps in the capability today that need to be resolved over time. And a good stopgap that we're going to have here is simplified agent-based management over the internet, so you can continue to deliver those the capabilities like Win32 applications or deep dive policy implementation. But it's going to greatly simplify that, so you can actually put a roll up in Azure, and that can be your proxy back into your on-prem config manager service without all the overhead of DMZ implementation and everything else. And we also support, I'm going to show all these in demo form, but we also support full Azure hosting of config manager. My demo box is actually running out of Azure. And that becomes more realistic when you can also, when you add another 16 hidden capability of peer caching. Once we add full content type peer caching in 1610, then you could realistically think about moving your command and control database primary site servers up to Azure and start chipping away at those broad distributed expensive distribution points that you have at all of your branch locations by taking advantage of our peer caching implementation, which I'll show you in a second. And this is just kind of a teaser for tomorrow's service integration session. We're going to go through deep dive. It's going to be a wild ride through all of these services and how Config Manager and Intune have connected and interop with these services. So this was just a placeholder to really paint the picture of how deeply embedded Config Manager is with Microsoft services. Intune, as much as Store for Business, as much as Advanced Threat Protection, et cetera. And we'll go deep into all those integration points on both the Intune and Config Manager side tomorrow, tomorrow 4 to 5:15. I'm going to focus mostly for this on Azure, and I'm just going to cut over to my demo box here. Signing in. What's that?
Do you need to switch inputs? You're going to sign in.
I do. I'll wait till I sign in. Get my. Yeah, let's do. What do we have? Come on, five. Okay, so my starting page here. This is an Azure hosted environment of Config Manager, and I'm starting with the What's New page. This is our tech preview branch. We have the two branches. We have the every 4 months generally available production ready release, and we have monthly releases that are lab quality, lab only, so you can get the earliest insight into what we're doing in the product. We often get asked, what is your roadmap? What's your 3-year plan? And frankly, we don't have a 3-year plan. We have 3-month plans. We have 3-week plans. We're constantly taking feedback, trying to match the innovation going on in the industry, trying to match up with customer ask as they evolve the IT processes, platforms they're supporting, et cetera. And really, our roadmap is built into this tech preview process. There's a corresponding blog that lands with each one of these, and each one of these is any code we've written goes into this thing. We haven't even fully tested it, but you get to play with it and give us feedback on it, and we get data and telemetry off of it as well. So this is just the starting page, and this is an example of what's in our 1609 tech preview. So we have a starting page with all the new scenarios added and an ability for you to walk through and test these out and see how they work. For example, additional settings for Android, iOS, and Windows for hybrid configuration. We're doing a lot of work and a lot of improvement in boundary groups to make that simpler to use and more effective and to do what you actually wanted it to do. Deploying Office 365 apps to clients, that's being able to take your O365 click-to-run applications and deploy them via Config Manager. improvements for BIOS to UEFI conversion, which is a big sticking point of moving from Windows 7 to Windows 10 on existing hardware, because to get a lot of the great new Windows 10 capabilities, you need to be UEFI, so we're doing some work to make that conversion possible. Intune compliance charts, native connection types, and so on. I'm not gonna go through all of these. I did wanna key off a couple of key things. First and foremost, this is not all that exciting, but I just wanted to show that this is by server name. This is hosted in Azure. I didn't have to VPN into this. I just did a direct connection over Wi-Fi, authenticated to the server with my credentials, and I'm at my Config Manager console, fully Azure hosted environment. Another key piece we're adding, which I touched on, is this is cloud-based management. This is not the final name. It's called Cloud Proxy Service here. But if I go to properties and skip that error page, this is tech preview. I couldn't try to jump off that quickly. And you just see that, you know, some of the parameters here, your certificate file, your service FQDN, your root certificate, and effectively this is, becomes a role that you spin up in Azure, you walk through a wizard workflow in Config Manager console, and when you're done with this, your clients on the internet can talk with their agent back to Config Manager and get software updates, applications, policy and settings, anything you can do with Config Manager on-prem, you'll be able to do with as brokered by this Azure proxy. So it's, again, it's a great click stop as you want to move more to mobile management or mobile workforce. This is a stepping stone to that great vision of cloud-based MDM management over time, as you saw on the Intune demos to start with, but it's a quick stop on your way there that you don't have to remodel your application stack or how you do policies today. It buys you time to do that over time, and as Windows evolves to be ideal for modern management for your organization, you can start moving clients to that style of management, but this might be a viable click stop to get you to that point. So the next thing I wanted to show here is our just managing Windows as a service. So we've added this Windows 10 servicing dashboard that's really meant to make sense of and rationalize the keeping track of the Windows versions that are out and where you are in your environment. For example, the first donut here, and we like donuts. I don't know why, but that's what form we tend to go with of these circles. It shows you the usage by version. The second one shows you the rings that you've configured and how many devices or users are in those rings. You can create a servicing plan directly from this interface and, you know, name it, pick a target collection, the deployment package, and which servicing ring you want to use for it. We have a deep breakdown of kind of the life cycle of all the versions in market of Windows, so you know where you sit in terms of clients or versions that are going to be expiring out of support that you need to get upgraded. So it's just supposed to be a one-click stop to really make sense of the rapid pace of Windows changes and know where your organization intersects with the Windows servicing cadence. A couple more things I do want to show, because we do have time for it. They weren't in my official demo list, but I do want to cut over and look at these. And again, it's kind of a preview of what we'll look at tomorrow. But we're really expanding the security monitoring and the security visibility capability inside a Config Manager by intersecting with Windows services like health attestation, advanced threat protection, endpoint protection, health status. So we're really moving to this dashboard concept to give you an aggregate view, because the data in Config Manager is not enough to really, with all the Windows services, we have to grab all that and intersect it and show you your state relative to all of the security services being added. And this is an example of that. Like we have, this is an overall dashboard. And if we jumped over to health attestation, you would see your health attestation compliance status of your Windows clients that are talking to the health attestation service. One of the key things that this enables for you, this health attestation piece, is, you know, we talked earlier on the Intune section about conditional access. Health attestation on Windows 10 can be part of your conditional access claim to assure that devices that aren't passing the health attestation validation are not able to access corporate resources, and we have that capability, we're adding that capability as well. We're adding a software updates dashboard, so you can get a good quick glance view of your software update status. One other thing relative to software updates, I know there's been a lot, you may or may not know that around the cumulative update model and the size of the cumulative updates on Windows 10 and then down level to 7 and 8.1, We are working on a plan to support Express with Config Manager in 16.10 or shortly thereafter on the Windows side, so that the clients can only download the bits they need out of the overall cumulative update payload. So we are doing efforts there to solve that problem. And last thing I want to show is the peer caching settings. So again, not anything super exciting I can show end to end because you've got to be digging through log files, but I just want to give you a sense of the client cache settings. So effectively, you can configure branch cache, you can enable branch cache. We interop with branch cache, but we give you a nice interface on top of it to so you know how it's doing. I don't have any live data in this to show the branch cache behavior, but I grabbed one off of our development site, and I'll show a screenshot of that later. But it lets you manipulate the cache size. It lets you target which clients you want to participate as peers by location. It can fall back to a distribution point if peer content's not available. We started this with WinPE for imaging content, and we've extended it to all of our content types. So our hope is that it can help you start reducing some of those distribution points, simplify the cost of ownership of Config Manager as you continue to use Config Manager for Windows 10 management on this trajectory to the cloud, but you're able to reduce your infrastructure, reduce your footprint, reduce your cost, ultimately is the big driver there. So cutting back, those are some of the highlights I wanted to show. I'm going to cut back to slides. And this is just the snapshot I mentioned of monitoring your client data sources. So you can see here that you have which clients are using peer cache, branch cache, distribution point, or cloud distribution point. And you can see the topmost distributed content by the type of content replication that it's using in the bottom chart there. So you can see, Microsoft Office is commonly, distributed through peer caching. Sometimes it goes to Cloud DP, but you get a sense of where your data is coming from, and you can run detailed reports to get a sense of what your network impact is around all this content replication throughout your environment. This is just another Windows servicing dashboard, which I actually had live data for that, so I'm going to jump over that one. And that's just a build slide to show you what I already talked about that piece. So that is really kind of a rapid fire overview of our Config Manager investments, and as well as obviously all the awesome stuff these guys are doing on the Intune side. Main point there is that we've got you covered. No matter your device type, no matter your management style, we're a combined engineering team that builds both traditional PC management tools with Config Manager and those modern tools for both Windows management and cross-platform management through Intune, as well as application management. So that's the main point I wanted to close my section with, and then we'll kind of wrap it up
We'll open it up for questions in just a second here, but we have a number of breakout sessions now. This was a broad overview of a lot of different stuff, but if you want to learn more about things like Android for Work, things about our integration with
all of our
Lookout, just a number of different ways that you can provide the mobile data security, the mobile application device management, how that integrates with System Center Configuration Manager, please take a look and attend as many of these breakout sessions as you can. We'll also be around here after if folks want to chat. And with that, we have a couple microphones just right here in the center. We can open it up for questions. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
You coming out, Jason? Yeah.
Hi, could you talk a little bit about when you'll be able to support MAM policies when we have Exchange on-prem versus Exchange in the cloud? That's one of the blockers for us implementing Intune.
Yeah, so the question was, when can we have the application management policies apply for an on-premise Exchange server? So today, if you're using the native email client in iOS or Android, connecting to an Exchange server, you can configure it so that you have support for the MAM policies when the attachments are opened up into the Office apps. To get that also into the email client, we need an update for mobile Outlook that will also support connecting to on-premise Exchange and implementing these policies, and we're expecting that in the first half of the next calendar year.
Okay, so first half is 2017.
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Got a
Must have nailed it.
I think that'll do it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hi, quick question.
Yeah.
How much of the MAM stuff that you talked about with Intune is there or coming when for SCCM with Intune as opposed to just Intune Cloud?
You want to take that one, Jason?
So, I'm not sure I totally followed
the question. So the MAM app policy stuff that you talked about,
yep.
Was that just Intune Cloud? Or is that there and or coming for Intune with SCCM Hybrid?
It's the MAM without enrollment. That piece is Intune Cloud. There's no like hybrid corollary for that. Application policies are a hybrid configuration. So that for hybrid customers, those capabilities will be there. So
the short answer is you can get it with SCCM as well, and you can deploy it to your MDM enroll devices through SCCM when it's attached to Intune. And if you want to deploy it for devices that aren't enrolled, you can just sign into the web console and configure it even for your SCCM environment.
Okay, so no gap, you're saying?
Yeah,
yep,
right.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Question over here.
Will SCCM have a health checkup like the Operations Manager product does?
You mean for the server-side health or client-side health or server-side health?
Server-side. Basically a phoning home kind of thing that the Operations Manager product is doing.
Are you talking about OMS or?
It's for on-prem deployments.
Oh, on-prem. Nothing I'm aware of that we're planning there. It'd be great feedback to get on the user voice forum, however, if it's something you could go provide or drop me a note directly.
You showed that it's now possible for like an iOS user to go straight to App Store, install Word, and then it stops and says you need to put a PIN or you can't do this because you're not enrolled. Which components really are required to set up that workflow?
Yeah, if the workflow is the user downloads Word, you want to make it so that when the user is signing in with a corporate identity that they're forced to have, say, an application PIN, you just use if you have an Intune subscription, you'll just go through the experience that Clay showed to assign that policy to Word, and it will work in that scenario. Yeah, it doesn't require any special enrollment or anything other than that.
So you've got a great provisioning option. So I get out of the box, I've got my Surface, I log in with my corporate credentials, and it will get my Wicked package that will join me to the domain and bring down my apps. How do I do that with Config Manager instead of Intune?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's something we're looking into. We are investigating how much customer need is there for a path like that for Config Manager? I'm hearing at this conference there is quite a bit. it is something we're looking into. We don't really have a design yet for it, but we have some ideas, but it's on our radar.
So how do I reach out to you?
You can email me directly. My name's obviously on the invite, or you can go through the user voice forum and vote it up that way. But we'd love to get more feedback on that because we just started looking at it. We're getting the customer data to see if that's a real thing. Sounding a lot like it's at this conference that it is. So it's something we want to look at for next early next year.
So we're deploying services. And we're using Config Manager today, but we're not using Config Manager.
Yeah.
So we have we use the MDT,
Totally
scripted for Windows 7, but for Windows 10, we're just using Surfaces. We take them out of the box, we use a provisioning package, and we're kind of doing it manually to service them, PowerShell to remove all the apps because we can't do it.
Right, but you want to do.
You want to use Config Manager.
You want to use the user just logs in and starts the whole process.
Right, we want to make it as light as possible.
Yeah. New PC, user starts it up, enters their credential, gets enrolled in SCCM.
Right, or even our support team could do it on their behalf to simplify it for the support team as a bridge.
Yep.
Okay.
What about VPN tunneling on apps? Do you guys support that in Intune at this point?
VPN tunneling, like a per-app VPN?
Yeah,
so we don't have a Intune VPN client. We support the standard per-app VPNs that are supported by the operating system, and we have integration with Cisco, Aruba, a bunch of other sort of network providers. In fact, I believe in that conditional access session later this afternoon, they're going to talk about that integration as well. So Yeah.
What time is that session for?
I believe it's at 2:15. It might be at 2:45. I'd have to double check. But it's just search for conditional access, okay. And it's in this afternoon.
Got it. Thanks. Yep.
That device-based VPN,
yeah.
That's essentially you're setting up the VPN on here to allow the entire device to go through. Do you
well,
guys support micro VPN? In other words, just for that app?
Just for the app,
yeah. Nothing else?
So on iOS, you have the option to configure the profile for the entire device or just for the specific app when we support both of those through.
Okay, because I was looking at the troubleshooting on how to set that up, and it says first thing you do is set up a total device VPN. If that works, then the per app VPN should work fine. That's not what we want to do. We want to make
okay.
sure that the whole device isn't attached,
yeah.
just the single.
No, it's a very common ask to have the traffic just for that app be routed into the corp, and it sounds like maybe the documentation might need an update or something to make that clear.
Okay, so that's possible. Is that possible also MAM only?
It is not possible through MAM only because you need the MDM channel to configure that. Yeah. Now, what you can do in the MAM only is we have, and I, this may or may not, I'm, one of the breakout sessions covers this, and I can follow up with you if you need to. But you can configure, say, the Microsoft web app proxy hosted in Azure to perform the function of this app's going to be, you know, this app in my data center is going to be published the web app proxy to this mobile app on a device, and you can configure that up to work. So we don't have a micro VPN in some of the sense that you see in other products in the market built into, say, Office or something like that. But we have ways that you can configure the infrastructure to get the same effect.
Okay. Are you guys planning on sort of building out some of those MAM-only features? Essentially, you know, I'm comparing it to Zen Mobile specifically and some of the other MDM products where the MAM-only features are pretty extensive. The app
yeah.
policies seem pretty limited. Are you guys going to let the third parties go with that? Are you guys going
to? We're in constant conversation about what are the most important ones to cover. We have, I think, the basics covered right now, but we'll
yeah.
be expanding over time. And I don't know that we'll ever get to the point where we have 497 options, but we'll have the ones that people really need to get the scenarios done. And we'd love any kind of input or feedback on how to strike that right balance.
All right, appreciate it.
Yep, thanks. Okay, the conditional access session's at 2:15 for folks that were hearing for that. Thank you. All right.
Cool. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, everyone.